Divisional round matchups are set, and we are going to preview each game. This is the Fumblerooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumblerooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a great show planned for you guys tonight. And we're going to be planning, we're going to be giving a full preview, that is, of each divisional round matchup. Obviously, there's four of them. And we have a couple of good ones. So we're going to start off with the Texans, who are visiting the Chiefs. That game is on Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then after that, we're going to have Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's going to be the Commanders at the Lions. Then going on to Sunday. So the game on the Texans-Chiefs game is going to be on ESPN+. Commanders, Lions, that's going to be on Fox. Going on to Sunday, we're going to have the Rams, who are visiting the Eagles Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That one is going to be on NBC or Peacock. And then we're going to round things out, and what a way to finish the divisional round. This is going to be the Ravens, who are visiting the Bills Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That one's going to be on CBS or Paramount Plus. That's one that I cannot wait. You have a showdown of two MVP candidates, one and two, and it's an extremely close MVP race. Just when we thought that Josh Allen was going to be the slam dunk guy to get there, just based off betting odds. Usually, when it comes to the MVP race, the betting odds end up being right. But you know what also ends up being right is the AP All-Pro Awards, which usually the first team All-Pro quarterback is the one who gets the, in fact, in the past decade and a half, every single time it has been the one who wins first team All-Pro, and it was Lamar Jackson. So on one hand, the betting odds are saying one thing: Josh Allen wins league MVP. AP All-Pro is saying Lamar Jackson. So it's literally a skin-tight race. It's actually insane. And they happen to be the 2 and 3 seeds in the AFC playoffs. This may be, as far as divisional rounds go, a matchup for the ages. A game that I just cannot wait to happen. One thing to note is that Zay Flowers has not practiced at all this round. That's something that could potentially be huge. Obviously wasn't going to be against the Steelers, who are struggling, but for a game against the Bills, who you cannot make mistakes against, that's going to be something else. But we're going to start off with the first matchup Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Texans are visiting the Chiefs, and I gotta say, this would, if you were to tell me about this matchup, let's say 5 months ago, I would have said this is going to be an awesome game. You have the team of tomorrow versus the team of today. The Chiefs are still hanging around there in championship contention. The Texans are right there. CJ Stroud looks like the kid of the future. And maybe he still is. But this Texans team all around has had a down year in every sense of the phrase. CJ Stroud has taken a few steps back since a sensational rookie year where he won Offensive Rookie of the Year, that is. The defense has been pretty much the same, I would say, maybe a little better, but that's about it. That's the only spot where they've been better. Their receiving core has not only been not as good, but also hurt as well. Two out of the three stars that they had on that team are now hurt, and it's literally just down to, as far as wide receivers go, Nico Collins. You have Dalton Schultz, who's a nice tight end, but that's literally all you have. So that's tough there. Joe Mixon is having a nice year, but I don't know, man. A running back isn't going to put you over the top. Defense looks fine. It looks solid. It would be a championship-winning defense. Definitely not the type of defense that carries you. But I'm looking as far as the biggest flaw on this team has been the offensive line. An offensive line that was supposed to be one of the better ones in the league this year. And boy, is it the opposite. And again, maybe CJ Stroud turns things around. This whole team turns things around in the next year or so. But right now, it's pretty much safe to say that I don't see them advancing. I just don't. And the Chiefs, they've been there. They've done that. As flawed as they have been this season, they may not be 15-2 good, but they're championship level good still, which is enough to say that I think they're going to the AFC championship. But CJ, give me your 2 cents.
You know how you previewed the Ravens Bills game, right?
Yes.
This is the anti-Ravens Bills game. Whereas in Ravens Bills, we're expecting fireworks. Even with the other two games, Commanders, Lions, Eagles, Rams, I'm expecting fireworks. This is the one game where I am more or less pretty confident in saying I'm expecting a rock fight. I am expecting an ugly defensive slugfest. Because the Texans have one of the best pass rushers in the league. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have a vastly overrated pass rush. It's propped up literally by Chris Jones. But the Texans have a bad O-line, and the Chiefs know how to take full advantage of that. And the one thing I'll say about the Texans is that they totally have a chip on their shoulder after the last game, right? After, I would assume so, right? You know, the Chiefs already beat them. You lost Tank Dell in that game. But a chip on your shoulder really isn't enough to beat Kansas City. And if you're the Texans, look, we say this every week. When you play the Chiefs, you can't leave the game in the hands of the refs. Because, look, it's a well-established fact. When you look at that Chiefs offensive line, right, versus the Texans pass rush, flagrant holdings will not be called. Yes, I know that Jawan Taylor, their right tackle, literally jumps off side or literally commits a false start, and he jumps early on every play. Pick yourself up. Stop crying. You're not going to get the call. You have to work around that. Like, you can't just throw your hands up in the air when an offensive line is grabbing you by the face mask and saying, hey, where's the flag? You're not going to get it. Like, you have to work around that. You can't leave the game in the hands of the refs. The only way to beat Kansas City, that's what Buffalo did, is it's got to be a two-score game. You put your foot on their neck, and if you're up by two scores by midway through the fourth, I think you're golden. But the Texans, I don't know if they can do that. Joe Mixon finally had a good game, I will grant him, against top 10 DVOA defense, right? He finally cracked over like 50 yards. I think he got over 100. But the Chiefs are a completely different animal, especially in Arrowhead. But when it comes to the Chiefs' offense, I still think that Texans pass rush is going to be very concerning. Stingley is just going to completely erase whoever he's on, whether it's Worthy or Hopkins. Kelsey, you better hope Kelsey turns back the clock, because he has not been inspiring literally at all. But even though it's an ugly game, the Chiefs are dangerous. Like, I think, like, within like the past 2 years, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they've even lost a one-score game. Or I read something like that, or like the past year and a half or whatever, like they have not lost any one-score games. Or I know this season they haven't lost any one-score games. So you got to be really, really careful, because if it's a one-score game, whether it's in favor of you or them, you're not going to win. So that being said, I think the Texans have the will, the want, and the even probably the game plan to get it done. But the Chiefs, this is another thing where it's just experience outranks everything. They have the experience. They've been there. And not to mention, like I said, Chiefs being lethal in one-score games, I'm taking Kansas City. To be fair, though, I will say, a Houston upset wouldn't shock me like it would most people, but I still think it's highly unlikely. I'm still going KC.
I'm going KC, and I mean, the Chiefs have been shaky all season long, and they were more shaky before they got DeAndre Hopkins and some of their injured players on offense back. But I still, the Chiefs just have an ability to kick themselves into a different gear once the playoffs start. And if this was a regular season game, I guess I would give the Texans more of a shot. But they have been such a shaky team this year. I don't believe the Chiefs will reach the Super Bowl. But I also don't believe they're going to lose to this team in the divisional round. I would have given the Chargers a chance if they had their head screwed on straight. Just because I feel like they had the horses to do it. And they see the Chiefs more often. But here in this matchup against the Texans, I just don't see a path where the Texans win. And perhaps I'm being unfair because the Chiefs have been shaky this year, and the Texans are a tough team. Worse teams have had the Chiefs on the ropes this season. So theoretically, the Texans have a very realistic shot of winning, but that's just in theory. This is reality. This is everything, any sort of analytic or anything like that is all bets are off. We're on the football field. It's the playoffs. You're in Arrowhead Stadium facing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Patrick Mahomes. Do you have a shot at winning this game if you're the Texans? I say no. But if you predict an upset, I won't fault you for it. Because this has been, if there is a year for the Chiefs to, let's say, to just lose before making, what?
I said, you know, just go one and done.
Yeah, to lose before even making it to the AFC Championship. This is the year to do it. I just don't like the Texans this year anymore. I predicted this team to be in the Super Bowl, and I'm so pissed off that they have been as bad as they have been. The offensive line, the injuries, CJ Stroud's regression, everything has just pissed me off about this Texans team. It makes me want to put a bag over my head just seeing how bad it has been. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the Chiefs, their assistant general manager, Mike Borgzoni, is leaving them to be the GM of the Titans.
Yeah, they're really good as far as drafting goes. Mm-hmm. I would say their defensive drafting has been stellar over the past few years. Their offensive drafting has been okay. They're very good on day two, I'll say. Day two between drafting players in the drafting defensive players, finding wide receivers, they've been solid. And I look at Rashee Rice, a guy who's, I mean, off the field, we can say all we want, but he looked like a one early in the season. And he looked like the guy who was really the X factor on whether or not the Chiefs would be as dominant offensively as they have in years past. Obviously, he's out with a torn ACL, so the Chiefs have been as shaky as ever. And we've brought up Travis Kelce a couple times this season, and statistically, he looks fine. My problem is the reason he looks so good statistically is because of targets. If Rashee Rice didn't get hurt earlier this year, Travis Kelce would not see the volume of targets to break maybe even 600 yards this year, just because they literally need so much help. They need Travis Kelce out there. They can't have him on the offensive line to help. They need to throw his way, because anyone else that Patrick Mahomes trusts, they're not getting the job done. They're not going to get open. They just won't do it. And Kelsey's still a good tight end. I'm not saying he's bad. It's just he's clearly not the receiver that he once was. And I say receiver, pass catcher. What I will say is their offensive line has improved a lot. So they brought in DJ Humphreys, who's fine. He's obviously past his prime. I believe he was a Pro Bowler with the Cardinals, no?
I think at least once, yeah.
So he was a good starting level tackle back then. He's not nearly the same guy anymore. And he's also gotten hurt a couple times for the Chiefs. They brought in their guard, Joe Thuney, to play left tackle, who during that span has been dominant. And man, what a badass player that Joe Thuney is. That guy, he's an all-pro as a guard. He's an all-pro level guard. But the fact that he's also excelling as a left tackle, oh boy, did the Patriots make a mistake letting him go. But they have one of the most dominant interior offensive lines in all of football, and it's helped them a lot. The tackle position for them has been iffy, but they've been figuring it out. It just goes to show that the interior offensive line is more important than the tackle position. The only reason the tackle position is so valued is because it's so hard of a position to be good at. But when you're looking at just results on the football field, the guard position is actually more important. The guard position and the center position. Because when the tackle position gives out, you can at least step up and step into your throws. If the guard or center position gives out, if pressure is coming to you from up the middle, there's no way you're avoiding that. And if you do make a throw, your vision's going to be partially impaired, and it's going to be harder to step into your throw because there's a defender in your face. So what the Chiefs have prioritized has been fantastic. They're all, the offensive minds on that coaching staff for the Chiefs the past few years have been nothing short of spectacular. They've put Patrick Mahomes in the best position to succeed, regardless of the pieces moving around them as far as pass catchers have gone, regardless of the age of Travis Kelce. I mean, props to them for staying in contention despite all of this that they've been going through. And winning championships back-to-back and potentially a third in a row. All right, let's move on. Next, we're going to have a primetime Saturday night matchup. It's going to be the Commanders, who are visiting the one-seeded Lions. Rookie Jaden Daniels is getting his shot. That's next. This is the Fumblerooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumblerooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting, Adam Wright, with CJ Medeiros. So we have this next matchup, which is, I believe, going to be much more competitive than the last one as far as Saturday matchups go. So Saturday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's going to be on Fox. A big story on this one is that Terrion Arnold and David Montgomery are both full goes, which is huge. The injury bug has hammered this Lions team hard this season. And luckily, I mean, they've come out with a 15-2 record regardless, but on paper, they're blowing teams out anyways. But on defense, things have been left to be desired. Just because in the rare situation that this team does end up in a one-score game, I'm not sure if I trust this defense. Now with Terrion Arnold back, I think you can trust them a little bit more. So here you are facing another bad defense. Well, the Lions have still have a good defense, but a very bad defense in the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels is most likely going to be the rookie of the year. On the offensive side of the ball, 25 touchdowns to 9 picks, 3,500 yards, spectacular season. He's also their lead rusher, by the way, with 891 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. The kid's been awesome. Terry McLaurin is proving himself yet again to be a very good wide receiver. One, he's been playing with a bunch of scrubs as quarterbacks in years past. Now he has somebody to actually work with. And that is one tough SOB over there. 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns on 82 receptions. The kid's been awesome. Problem is, you're running into the Lions, who have a career year for Jared Goff, 37 touchdowns to 12 picks. Jahmyr Gibbs, and now David Montgomery as well. We're getting Sonic and Knuckles back. Amon-Ra St. Brown with Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta behind that great offensive line and the creative coaching staff of Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson. I think the Commanders have a very good shot at making this a game. I think they can make this a close game. This team has been, I mean, it's regardless of what happens for this Washington team on Saturday night, it is an achievement for them. It is a great step in the right direction, massive step in the right direction for them to go from being the number two overall pick in last year's draft to now being in the divisional round. You just won a playoff game with your rookie quarterback in a dogfight of a game. And you're facing down with half a shot of winning, by the way. You're facing the number one seed, a team that, I mean, most see as the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I mean, the Commanders are the team of tomorrow. The Lions are the team of today. I see this being a relatively close matchup. Maybe it's one score, let's say eight. But the Lions come out of this game and they win. And they're going to the NFC Championship. CJ, what are your thoughts?
I can't rule out a Commanders upset. I really can't. However, I don't know. I just feel like Jayden Daniels and them, they're too young. If that makes sense. The Lions are a team that have actually been there before, you know. They've faced many tougher teams, and they've done it while being shorthanded on defense. Like, you could literally create a whole nother defense with the amount of defenders that they have on IR. It's insane. But for me, it's not about the Lions' defense. It's about the Commanders' defense. Jameson Williams has been looking promising. We already know what Amon-Ra is. Sam Laporta is starting to get it together. And Sonic and Knuckles are back in the backfield. So how are you going to stop the run? And even if you do stop the run, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, your new corner, he can only play one side of the field. Do you really trust Benjamin St. Juiced to shut down somebody like Jameson Williams, assuming that Lattimore is going to be on Amon-Ra? I don't. Because that's the thing. It's going to be about the defense. Meanwhile, if you're the Lions, the objective of the game is contain the scramble. I know it's easier said than done, but Jayden Daniels literally had the Tampa defense playing scared. Whenever he would roll out of the pocket, the play would immediately break down. Like I said, they were literally running two spy sets. But for the Lions, like, you got to run contain. Like, you have to stop Daniels. So that being said, I don't know if the Commanders really have the juice to dance with the Lions, especially in Detroit. Like, that's the big thing. They're, like, I can't stress this part enough. They are in Detroit, and that home crowd for the Lions is going to be as loud as ever, I would imagine, you know, against the Commanders. So I just, like I said, I feel like I'd be unnecessarily harsh towards Jayden Daniels, but I don't know. Like, if he meets the moment, great. But either way, I don't see him winning. Like, he can have a good game and they'd still lose. But eventually, I do expect the Commanders' defense to blink first, because their pass rush isn't great, especially not since they've lost Jonathan Allen. I've mentioned this before. It's literally Daron Payne and nobody else. And the Lions just have too many ways to hurt them. I'm going to have to go with the Lions, although I think the Commanders can keep it close. But by the fourth quarter, I feel like the Lions are going to start pulling away.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page on that. Like, it can be a game, but they're just too young. This is their first rodeo, and they have a lot of things. They have a few things to work on, and they have a lot of cap space going into this offseason. I mean, this has been a great season for the Commanders relative to their expectations, even not relative to that. Like, they won 12 games. They won 12 games. You're in the divisional round, and you're visiting the one-seeded Detroit Lions, who are supposed to win the Super Bowl, and you kind of have half a shot to win. So, I mean, no matter what happens, the Commanders should be coming out of this game holding their heads high. The thing is, it's just not their time just yet. They have some things to work on, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, we'll see how they fare. I believe that this is going to be a close game, but that Lions offense is going to be too much. I mean, Jared Goff is having a great year. And from before the season even started, most of us had the Lions as the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And we're sitting here looking at them, and they're doing everything that we expected them to do. Their defense still has some things to work on, and it's mainly because of injuries. Like, if Aiden Hutchinson were here, they may be 16-1. They may not lose that game against the Bills. That's how dominant they've been this season. That the injury bug hits them as hard as it has for the Lions. And we are sitting here and still saying, yeah, that there's not many teams in the league right now that can beat them. So great stuff for the Lions, and same with the Commanders. I expect this to be a nice game. But I think we know who we're favoring here.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on, and we're getting into our Sunday matchups, starting with the Rams. We're visiting the Eagles. The Rams, just a few years after winning a Super Bowl, the Eagles 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl, both trying to find their way back to the mountaintop. One is a little further along than the other, but still, both of them in contention nonetheless. That's next. This is the Fumbleroski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumbleroski Podcast. Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. And it was literally just last year, around this exact time, when the Rams, with this exact record, were back in the divisional round. They were back in the playoffs after a horrendous 2022 season. And they faced the Detroit Lions, who beat them only by 1 score. And I might add that if you look at a trade, a blockbuster trade, that has turned out to be as beneficial to both sides as it could possibly get. I mean, here it is. So Matthew Stafford was, of course, traded from the Lions to the Rams. And the Lions got a treasure chest of picks out of it that they took advantage of literally every single one of them. And the Rams won their Super Bowl, and they've kind of been in the mix ever since too. They kind of sold their souls for that Super Bowl, and they hit on a couple late round picks, namely Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua, and also their first round pick since 2015. They hit on Jared Verse, who looks awesome right now. And the offensive line, they've been working things out. Joe Noteboom and Alaric Jackson, they have on the edges. So overall, Matthew Stafford, this Rams team, they're not really going anywhere. And Matthew Stafford, he's 36 years old. So technically the Rams can stay in playoff contention and maybe even Super Bowl contention for a few years now. because they got younger. They have some good players on both sides of the ball. Their first round picks are officially back. The problem is they're not there yet. They're not ready to start being back in contention just yet. They have some work to do. And they're visiting. So this is an LA team, a team that, you know, so an LA team that is obviously a warmer weather team. Going into Philadelphia, where there's supposed to be a blizzard at the time of the game. Obviously, the Eagles are used to playing in this way. And normally when the weather, when the elements start to have an effect on the game, which it will, that's when the team that runs a little more is going to be the bigger benefactor. And the something tells me the 2,000-yard rusher, Saquon Barkley, is going to be a massive factor in this game. And they have a great short game working with Jalen Hurts on that nice little QB sneak that they like to call the tush push. They can use that. And they can run option plays. And again, the Rams are more of a warmer weather team. I think that's going to be a massive factor in why I don't believe that this is going to be that close of a game. I think this will be at least two scores. And the Eagles are going to feast. They're going to head to the NFC Championship game. But CJ, give me your thoughts.
I'll do you one better, Adam. I will. The Rams, calling the Rams a warm weather team is not going far enough. They're more than a warm weather team. Worse, they're a dome team. And dome teams, as you know, have a nasty reputation for being soft in the elements. That's just kind of how it's been. I don't make the rules. But yeah. And look, I know the Rams have had a lot of adversity since the Super Bowl. And, you know, you mentioned, they had that god-awful year, but now they're back. I feel like they're one-dimensional, if that makes sense. And I guess you could say the same thing for Philly, but the Rams literally have Kyren Williams, and he's good, but is he 2,000-yard rusher Saquon good? I disagree. And for Philly, they're just better geared for cold weather. You know, you can hand the ball off to Saquon. Even still, if you do have to throw, you still have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And don't get me wrong, the Rams still have Puka Nacua. They still have Cooper Kupp. But the passing game tends to shrivel up and die in the cold. Especially, like I said, because the Rams are, say it with me, kids, a dome team. And I know perhaps I'm being overly simplistic, but I'm not thrilled about their chances. Honest to God, if it were like a 40-degree game, you know, like clear skies, no wind, I wouldn't hate picking the Rams as an upset. I really wouldn't. Because if you can get that passing game clicking on all cylinders, you got DeJean and Mitchell. I know they call themselves dogs, but I've said they're not dogs. I think they're pups, you know. They're too young, and guys like people like Puka and Cooper would eat them for lunch. That's just a fact. However, what do we call weather, folks? It's the great equalizer. And if you're Cooper DeJean and Quinion Mitchell, and you have the weather on your side, and you're already good, even though you're both very, very young, then honestly, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see them pulling it out. And on top of that, the Eagles' pass rush is going to cause some problems for the Rams. Not to mention, the Eagles have been pretty solid at stopping the run. And if your entire running game is literally just Kyren Williams, then I don't know. Because I know they've got other guys, but let's face it, it's literally just Kyren Williams. And on top of that, the Rams' front seven's good, but Saquon Barkley, he's something else entirely, you know? And honestly, I think that the Rams should be concerned if Philly starts passing the ball, because you have a good front seven, but good God, that back four, it's not great. You know, and I don't trust any of their corners to cover A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Even their safeties, like, regardless, I don't trust a single one of that defensive backfield to reliably shut down Smith or Goddard or Brown or really anyone. I think it's not that hard of a choice. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah. I got to say, with this is as close to a slam dunk as it gets without it being the Texans-Chiefs game, because I think that's one where it's going to be exactly like that. But if the weather was better, then I would certainly give the Rams a shot, at least to make it a close game. I just don't think this is even going to be close. Before we move on, I'll give a quick props to Nick Sirianni, who literally turned things around. He's always been a good coach, but it feels like he definitely during the 2023 season let his ego get the best of him. He got so egotistical that he let it get in the way of his play. It got in the way of his leadership, and the team collapsed in the second half of the season. And they looked god awful to start the year. And they were winning ugly ones. They were winning the ugly games. But eventually they got their head screwed on straight, and those ugly wins did matter. Next thing you know, they're sitting here, they're 14-3, and they look like roses right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the Super Bowl this year. I really would not. But my NFC championship is definitely Lions-Eagles, which I believe is going to be a matchup for the ages if it happens. Knock on wood, but I think if it does happen, that would be one of the better this is going to be one of the better matchups in our recent memory, that is, as far as playoffs go. But we'll move on. Why won't this go? This is literally not leaving.
It just left. I can see the new thing. It's Ravens.
Okay, there we go. Something was glitching on my end. My internet's getting very iffy. All right. Ravens-Bills is next. The matchup of two MVP candidates in one of the tightest MVP races we've ever seen. And a matchup of potentially who ends up going to the Super Bowl if the Chiefs are as what's the way I would put it? If the Chiefs are as vulnerable as we believe that they are. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. And to finish off the show, we have a great one. We have the Baltimore Ravens facing off the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. And as stated before, this game is going to be on CBS or Paramount Plus. And for this one, okay. So here is where things get interesting. So we're also expecting 18-degree weather. So that's going to be certainly something. But here is the breaking news from the last, let's say, I believe it was 10 minutes ago. Zay Flowers is listed as doubtful for this matchup.
Which is basically fancy talk for out.
Another way of putting it. It sucks because the Ravens, during that game against the Browns, did have something to play for. They needed to keep that seed in the number 3 spot, but now here we are. Zay Flowers is most likely going to be out. This is obviously huge because Zay Flowers, all 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns of him, he was Lamar's number 1. Now he's going to be working with an aging Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and Rashad Bateman. Obviously, he still has Derrick Henry, but in a season where, CJ, you and I loved the Ravens this year, because of Lamar Jackson's improved passing ability. The Ravens were much more multidimensional this season. 41 touchdowns to four picks. Nobody, none of us ever saw Lamar Jackson throwing for 40-plus touchdowns in a season and over 4,000 yards.
I don't know. Tuck probably did, if I'm being honest.
Tuck probably did, and if you viewing the show believed it, then good for you. It's just, and it's not a knock on his game. It's just, this is the style of play he runs. He's not, I'm in no ways calling him a running back, but he's a dual threat quarterback, meaning much of his production is going to be on the ground. And his production through the air is still going to be good, but not 41 touchdowns, four picks, and 4,000 yards good. That's kind of the argument I am making here. And he was still very productive on the ground, still rushed for over 4,000, still rushed for over 800 yards. He was pretty good. 915 rushing yards. So just basically just under 1,000. And the guy was insane this year. He had a great year. But the reason is because they were not one-dimensional. It didn't feel as if you shut down the Baltimore run game, then they would be screwed. Now, without Lamar's favorite toy in Zay Flowers, things are going to be a lot more interesting. And with Buffalo having home field advantage, Josh Allen playing out of his mind, I'm a little worried for this matchup. I was probably going to lean Buffalo before. Now I just have to say it is Buffalo. It could be still a very close game. This is probably going to be a great matchup because Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's been playing without players like Zay Flowers his entire career. So this is still probably going to be a great matchup. But this is a huge blow to the Ravens offense. And I have to say, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried here. I'm going to take Buffalo. Josh Allen has had a great year. I think this is his year to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I feel like a lot of people don't quite grasp how important Zay Flowers is to this Ravens offense. Because even... Well, tight ends aside, Rashad Bateman's now your one. You're also throwing to the likes of Tylan Wallace, Nelson Agholor, and Anthony Miller. Yeah, that's going to be scared. And keep in mind, the last game, you went up against Pittsburgh, right? We all remember that game. Lamar Jackson was relegated to more or less of a dink and dunk role. 16 of 21, which is solid, really good, but 175 yards and two touchdowns. The two touchdowns is great. 175 yards scares me because you did that against a really good defense. And granted, Buffalo's defense isn't that great. I mean, it's weird how one week they'll pitch a darn near shutout and the next week they'll let up 40. I don't know. It depends. But now you're in the cold as well, right? And you know Buffalo's going to be selling out to stop Derrick Henry every play, pretty much. In fact, I'd probably wager that at least half the time they're going to bring five or six guys to the box. Like, they are going to sell out to stop the run and say, you're a good passer, you can beat me with your arm, but can you do it in the cold without Zay Flowers? And honestly, I don't know. But don't get me wrong, I don't think that their offense is going to completely die. As long as they have Derrick Henry, they have options. And I don't see the Buffalo defense or even cold weather slowing them down. But Buffalo, you know, they are built for the cold. It's in Buffalo. You're playing in front of Bills Mafia. No one circles the wagons like them. We all know it. And, I don't like the matchups here. And not to mention, right, even though Buffalo doesn't really have that superstar wide receiver that you love, and we, like I said, we all know they don't, that's cool, it's whatever, but
Josh Allen has still been able to get it done. And the Ravens defense, cold or not, has been, especially their pass defense, has just, it hemorrhages yardage. And at this point, I feel like that's well established, right? We already knew this going in. And when you just look at the matchups, it's going to be which offense blinks first. And if I were a betting man, I would say it's the Ravens. But, and also, if the I can already hear from the future, if the Ravens lose, I can already hear the, but if we had Zay Flowers excuse. And believe you me, Adam, the Justin Tuckers of the world are warming up that right now as we speak. And honestly, I might be leaning more towards Baltimore if they had Flowers, but I definitely think that makes a key difference. And when, like I said, in the cold, it's not going to be, I don't think there's going to be a blizzard like there is in Philly, but the cold is still nasty to play in, unless you're Buffalo, who, like I said, just tends to play really well in the cold these days. I know they didn't always, right? Buffalo was ironically pretty bad in the cold for a bit, but for the past two seasons, it has been a completely different story. So all things considered, I am going to have to pick the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to roll the Bills. In Buffalo, it's supposed to be on Sunday, it's going to be a high of 23, a low of 14. And it appears around game time, it's going to be in the teens, like 15, 16. So it's going to be cold. It's going to be very, very cold. It's going to feel like around 11 degrees. So, I mean, weather is the great equalizer, and when it gets colder, the rushing attack becomes more of a thing. At that point, it will be an advantage Derrick Henry, I guess, because it's hard to hit Derrick Henry as is, but trying to hit him in the cold weather, that has to be hard. So I expect this to be a good matchup still. I just think the Bills have multiple ways they can beat you. They're going to take advantage of a less than satisfactory Ravens defense. It's not even to say that the Bills have a good defense. It's okay. It's a solid one, but it's significantly better than the Ravens. And just for that, I'm going to give a slight edge to Buffalo rather. And yeah, this could still go either way, but the loss of Zay Flowers is big. That's big. Yeah, but that is all the scheduled content that we have for today. You have anything else before we end the show tonight?
Nope. No, I'm good. I'm sure you're happy. We finally got an episode under an hour.
Yeah, about time, right? No 2-hour episodes. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.